As the book of Sirach tells us, the Lord is a God of justice who knows no favorites. And as Christ tells us in the gospel, the one who humbles himself will be exalted. However, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. It's a reminder to us that while God has no need of us whatsoever, that's a humbling thought, he certainly wants us. He desires us because he loves us. And that's why he created human beings as the crown of his creation. Amongst everything else that exists in the world, only you and I have those divine attributes of God, that we can actually love unconditionally, that we have a free will, that we can think, that we can choose, that we are eternal, and God meant us to be that. We realize that, as Jesus tells us, apart from God, we have nothing and we are nothing, but with God, all things are possible. Everything that we are, everything about ourselves that is good, is from God. The only thing that's really not from God, that's totally our own, is our sinfulness. But even that, God wants to take away so that we can be as he wants us to be, as he created us to be. He also gave us the earth. God gave everything that he had made to Adam and Eve and said, quite simply, it's yours. Take care of it. And of course, we use it to our own advantage, and thus sin comes into the world and all those things that accompany sin. But God would never, of course, allow sin to have the last word. Still, when we cooperate with the good, when we do what's right, when we do what's just, anything that is godly in our minds and our thoughts and our actions, then we are cooperating with God for the good of the world. And that's exactly why you and I are here. To imitate Christ, who did nothing else but good. And that's the key to our salvation, to continue the work of Christ by being good, being holy, and doing good. When I was a kid, we used to have this song we would sing, written by Father Cary Landry, called Great Things Happen When God Mixes With Man. And that's absolutely true. When God and people do something together, we see great things happening. On our own, we can cause some pretty horrible things. It's kind of a funny story about this priest up in the Midwest who was given a brand new parish out in the country. And as he was walking the country roads, looking at all the farms and the fields and everything, he comes across this beautiful, beautiful patch of corn. And he tells the farmer, he says, "Isn't it a marvelous and wonderful thing what you and God can do together?" And the old farmer kind of spits some tobacco out and says, "Yeah, I guess so." He said, "But you should have seen this place when God had it all by himself. It didn't look like this, I can tell you." And again, we cooperate with God and see good things. And we do this for the common good. As we come upon another election year, that's something for us to keep in mind. That as Catholics, as Christian citizens of this country, that's primary in our minds. What is the common good that's going to benefit us all as brothers and sisters in Christ, as members of the same nation? Bishop Desautels sent out a letter to all the priests of the diocese asking us to read this letter this weekend to contemplate these things as Catholics and our role in elections. Bishop Desautels writes, "Dear brothers and sisters, in a short time, we will all have the opportunity to elect new leaders for our nation, state, and local communities. The right to vote is a cherished right, won by the sacrifices of many men and women who have served our country in the past and the founders who established our Constitution. As citizens of the United States, we have a duty to vote, a moral obligation to improve the community in which we live, and to elect good leaders who will make good and just laws that protect the rights and the freedoms of all. St. Paul himself even told the early Christians to be good citizens of the Roman Empire and to give good example by their lives. The Catholic Church, of course, does not endorse any candidate or particular political party. Each Catholic should inform themselves of the positions held by the various candidates and vote for those who most closely reflect the values and moral teaching that we as Catholics believe build up a good and just society. There can be differences of opinions about how that is best achieved. For us as Catholics, and for all people of goodwill, the following are beliefs that we simply cannot negotiate. Those beliefs are, first, the reverence and sacredness of every human being from conception, natural conception, in the womb, until natural death, since every person is created out of love in the image and likeness of God. We believe in the right to life of every child in the womb. We also believe in the sacredness of the family as the basic building block of society. We believe in the definition of marriage as the permanent union of one man and one woman open to the possibility of new life. We do believe in the right of the human person to receive decent housing and employment and a just wage. We also believe in the just and fair treatment of immigrants who come to our country seeking a better life for themselves and their families and contribute to the good of the nation. These are the values which we believe improve our society and preserve our civilization. I pray that each Catholic in the Diocese of Lafayette will take their duty to vote seriously and exercise that duty. May the Holy Spirit guide us all as we seek the will of God and build a just society for all citizens of the United States. Faithfully yours in Christ, Most Reverend J. Douglas Desitel, Bishop of Lafayette. I wish that we could say as Americans that if we vote for this particular person, then these things will definitely happen. Or if we vote for this particular person, that other things will certainly happen. But we can't. That's the human part of this all. We don't know that. There are, to be sure, some very good men and women in politics and in government. There's no doubt about that. But all too often, we see otherwise. Promises that are made, which are later broken. Certain pandering to particular special interest groups. Outright lying. Horrible mudslinging. All of these things which are absolutely beneath Christian and American dignity. Now, I personally believe at this point as an American that when it comes to the highest office of the land, that of president, at this point right now, we do not have the best of choices. That's my personal opinion. And so along with what the scriptures tell us today, with what we've heard from Bishop Desitel, it seems that we need to really think hard and pray even harder. Become very familiar, not with just the presidential candidates, but all candidates. See what they say, what they believe in, what they will do, what they plan or hope to do. Think about it well and pray hard over it. And decide asking the Holy Spirit's guidance in making that decision so that we can choose leaders who will cause the least amount of damage morally, economically, and diplomatically. In choosing a leader, we want someone who's got as much of a servant's heart as possible, who wants to serve God and serve the nation, the state, or the community. We want someone who has the best interest of our nation, state, or communities in mind, not his or her own self-serving glory. Political offices are about taking care of the people. It's not about one's personal power. It's taking care of everyone as a whole. It's about the common good, not about special interest groups. And certainly it's about moral strength, not simply about money, which as St. Paul tells us, the love of which is the root of all evil. So we know all of our candidates by now. We know where they stand. We also know what our church teaches us. Yes, I think it's come down sometimes, sadly, to simply choosing the lesser of the evils. Sometimes all you might have is a maniac, an egomaniac, and a sociopath. But no matter what it might be, in the end, we want someone who is not going to destroy anyone and everyone simply to get his or her own way without care to get whatever they want, but someone who has the genuine good of the nation, state, community, the world in mind. For your own assistance, if you like, in the back of the church in the literature rack, there are Catholic guides to voting. You're certainly welcome to take one home and look it over and think about these things. But as the scriptures remind us today of the importance of prayer, let's keep that in mind. To pray as we make our decisions, and later after the elections, to pray for those who have been given the benefit of that office for our good. In fact, let's pray for that right now, please. God, our Father, You guide everything in wisdom and in love. Accept the prayer we offer for our nation, for our state, for our communities. By the wisdom of our elected leaders and the integrity of our citizens, may harmony and justice be secured, and may there be lasting prosperity and peace by the seeking of your will. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, our one God forever and ever. Amen.